So, I mean, if you know anything about me, you know that I love baseball. I love golf. I love those. I don't watch baseball or sports anymore. I do watch the golf, though, because there's no political agenda there. And we can keep it clean. Amen. One thing I like about golf, you can't blame anybody else. You know? You can't blame anybody else. You have to take, but it also gives you the right to take the reward when you hit a good shot. Amen. Well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, but first, let's get right into this. The name of our series is The Perfect Gift. We have been given a gift in Jesus. And it's a gift, probably it's abused more than any other gift. And he knew it when he came and when he died. But it's still out there offering. Why? Because he doesn't care about that. He loves you. He can look through all of that. He looks through all of your need, all of your sin, to the point of need. And he answers the need when you call. He's always there. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Boy, that's God speaking to you. Every time you open this up, God is speaking to you. Last week we talked about the perfect gift has already been given. You need to understand something. And we talked about the tenses of the new covenant. That there's present tense, there's past tense, and there's future tense. But when he relates to all the stuff that Jesus bought for it, it's all in the past tense. Already, that's a big word. The grace of God has already been given. Jesus has already died for us. Mercy has already been given. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's already been done. The word already is a huge word in the new covenant. And where it's not seen, it's implied. It's a huge key. And if you really want to unlock the power of God, the power of the new covenant, and the blessings and the promises that are locked in there, you've been given the keys to that, by the way. You can unlock it. Faith is the key. It unlocks it all. But you've got to know that it's there, that it's already been given. And when you know something has already been given, it's so easy to believe God for it, to receive it by faith, and know that he's faithful and give it to you. When you can go back into the Old Covenant, right back to the book of Genesis in the first chapter, and see how big the word already is. Because man was created on the sixth day, and by the time man got there, the whole world, everything was already provided. Food sources, everything was already provided for Adam when he was created. Everything except a wife. God took care of that. God took it from man's closest thing to his heart, a rib, and formed his wife. Now, you know what? Women's rights groups and everything protest to that. I don't know why, but they do. Because it's what God told Adam in the garden after he fell. He told Eve, he says, your desire will be basically to control the man. That's the natural desire of a woman. And Adam, his natural thing now is to relinquish his authority in the marriage, and exalt his wife to above him. No, God took man from Adam, from his rib, not from his foot so man would be over, not from his head so that he would be over the woman. Right from here, right from the heart. And that's, we are two equal cohabitors in the earth. There is not, man is not greater than woman. Woman is not lesser than man. We are co-joint heirs of the grace of God, the Bible says. That was, by the way, in no way part of my message, but I thought I'd throw it in. Just in case you were wondering. So you get a lot more than you bargained for when you come here. But you see, look, and when you were born again, everything was already in place. Jesus already came. He died for you. He paid for your sins in full. There's nothing more you can do. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't leave $1 million to a church and expect God to honor that as your salvation. No. The precious blood of Jesus was shed. When your faith is in that blood, that it was shed for you, that's the door. That's the entrance into the kingdom of God. That's when you become a new creature. That's when God becomes your very own father and you become his very own child. Amen. When your faith is in that blood. If you could do it because of good works, Jesus would have never had to come and die for you. But because there is nothing we could do to satisfy heaven's justice and do all of that, there was only one thing that could do that, and that's Jesus. Amen. When he offered himself on our behalf. But what I'm getting at is it was already done by the time you got here. God prepared all of it for you. All the blessings, promises, the authority that he has delegated through us through the new covenant. It was all a finished work. When you realize that God has already provided salvation for you, then it's easy to believe, isn't it? That all you have to do is come and receive. When you believe, when you know that God has already provided healing for you, it's easy to come and receive. When you believe that God has already provided deliverance for you, then you know that you have authority over the devil. He can't rule your life anymore. Your mind doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to you. So all you have to do is come and say, Lord, I'll take that. You're my Lord. You are my Savior. And you know what? At that point in time, it becomes a completed pass. It's a completed pass, and there's nothing the devil can do about that. Now you're heading for the end zone, and you've got a whole team of angels to block for you. You've got, they're there to help you. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. He's giving you strategies and plans and so forth. You are getting to that end zone. Why? Because he declared that faith is the victory. All you got to do is run the race. Run the race that is set before you. And it says run with endurance. So you're going to need endurance. Why? Because the world will resist you. The world will throw up roadblocks. But nothing can stop God because it's a completed pass. How's that for sports talk, Anthony? Yeah. You know, I remember once, the last car I bought, I walked in the showroom and I saw this car and I'm looking at it and the salesman comes up. I remember his name. His name was Robin. And he said, oh, I see you like coupes. And I said, well, you know, I like this one. I'm not a car guy. I'm not a car-minded guy. I'm just not. Guitars, yeah. Stuff like that. But not a car guy. And so I said, well, I like that one. So he starts pointing out all the features and everything. And I said, okay, I'll take that. And I guess apparently he didn't know I said I'll take that because he still tried to sell me the car and still tried to point out all these things. And so I had to interrupt him twice and say, no, I'll take that. And he still went on. He is so conditioned to having to sell somebody something they don't want, or he has to create a need for them to want to fill that need, or whatever the sales tactics that they use. I mean, you go into a car dealership, you're going to get ambushed with every psychological weapon that they have. But so then I finally said, I'll take it as is. Can we go to the office? Oh. Okay. So we finally get to the F&I or whatever they call it, the finance guy in there. And they offered me 0% financing. So why would I use all my money? So I just paid monthly until it was paid off. And otherwise, we would work something else out. But anyhow, that continues to speak for me from time to time, because how conditioned are we to ignore what God is saying to us, ignore the truth, ignore the covenant that we have with God? Let me ask you this. Careful now. Take this, Phil. This is a gift. Don't open it. That's a gift. Every morning when you wake up, I want you to open that up. And whatever's in there, I just want you to apply it. Just walk in it. Every morning, when you have a problem, look in there. Don't look anywhere else, just look in there. If something goes wrong with your family, something goes wrong with your job, something goes wrong with your guitar, you break a string, just look in there first. That's all I want you to do. But what happens is, and here's what we do. We have this beautiful gift. And something comes along and says, oh, what am I going to do now? 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 What? It's right here. Yes. It's right here. This is our covenant with God. And look inside. Oh, there's crumpled paper. But in this, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. In verse 7. I didn't write this one in, so this is all coming to me on the spur. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say here? It says, but we have this, what? In earthen vessels. See, the gift isn't in a box out here somewhere. The gift has come into us. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels. That word treasure, Rick Renner goes into this and explicitly, because this word treasure is used in other Greek literature to describe an immeasurable resource of wealth or treasures. It's a repository that you cannot reach the end of. In other words, it's inexhaustible. That's what this word treasure means. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels that the excellency of the power. This is a power gift. This is a power treasure. This is a power that you have been given the keys of the kingdom to unlock it. It's a treasury that you cannot exhaust. It's a repository of treasures and spiritual power that cannot ever be exhausted. The mercies of God can never be exhausted. The grace of God can never be exhausted. Nothing in that treasury deposit that has been placed in you but can ever be exhausted. Why don't we go there? And you start accessing it when you start praying. And you say, God, I know that you're a present help in time of need. The Holy Spirit is my helper. I call upon the Holy Spirit right now to help me. Help me control my thoughts. Help me control my mind. Help me control. I take authority over my vessel and I release that treasure that you say lives on the inside of me. Now I can call light to shine into the darkness of this thing. And I call on the power of God now to deliver me. See, God, there's nothing that the devil can do that is so cleverly orchestrated, so cleverly designed, that he took 50 years to build this thing, this trap, into your life, that you don't have a key that can unlock the power of God and wreck the whole thing. Nothing. 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 because you have an inexhaustible. And even if it looks really ruined, you have an inexhaustible treasure. A treasure, that treasure might be just a flow of living water just to wash all the past away, like it never was. You ever see, we did a series years ago, I think in 2019. Excuse me one second. We did a series on something about the landscape and how the landscape is just changed by water, by floods, and how things are. It was so graphic. You need to let that living water flow out of you. Start there. Start with tongues. Praying in unknown tongues. Why does that? Because it activates angels. It acclimates your mind to understand the language of the Holy Spirit. It puts you in line with the process and the momentum of the Spirit of God. It's a powerful thing. You need to understand. This is a gift. If I could eat this and go down here, this is Jesus came. The past tense is what I'm getting at. The past tense that these things have already been done. So in 1 John chapter 4, it says this, verse 4. Are we there, Barb? Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world." Right? It says, you are of God. What is that? That's present tense, right? You are. This tells you who you are. You are. And whose you are. It tells you that you are of God. You know, John the Baptist came, and it says in John chapter 1, after Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and there was a man came, named John, who came from God. You're just like that. You are of God. Relate to that. You have a purpose and calling in your life that nobody else has. It's all yours. You are of God. You need to accept that as your identity right there. Let me read something to you. I wrote this back in 2016. It was one of our words of the week. It says, take a few moments and let this scripture, this one, keep that up, please, Barb. Let this scripture speak out to you. Let it grow louder and louder and louder in your mind, louder than your thoughts, louder than your past, louder than your infirmities and weaknesses, louder than your finite mind can handle, louder. Let the words become a tree of life within you whose roots tap into heaven's soil. Heavenly ground, kingdom ground, whose branches stretch out, springing forth with new life. Receive them as the words that are spoken directly to you from the very heart of God, because that's where they came from, that you are of God. The very heart of the Father declaring before heaven and earth that you are of God. These are the words of the Father. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd. All the angels of heaven know these words, and they are in agreement with the God who spoke them. You are of God. Boy, they, the angels of God, hearken unto the voice of the word, so that when you give voice to this word and say, I am of God, the angels say, yes, sir, what can I do for you? They hearken unto the voice of his word, it says in Psalm 103, verse 20, by the way. They hearken to his word. Let those words manifest. That means to become real in your life. Let them manifest in your life to such an extent that your identity will agree with nothing less than what has already been declared by the Father and settled forever in heaven, that you are of God. Present tense. This is not trying to become like God. This is not making every effort. This is, you're already done. You see, you have been transformed. And most of the Christian world doesn't know it. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. They don't know that they have already been translated into the kingdom of God, that they have already been delivered from the power of darkness, that none of that stuff belongs to them. They have been transformed. We just need to renew our mind to it. They've been transformed. See, let that thought grow bigger than your old opinions, because you're no longer that person. Let it grow stronger than what the world has said about you, because you're no longer part of this world. You're in the kingdom of God. Let me see where I've left off here. When this truth begins to unlock the mind of Christ in you, and you begin to experience the freedom that this truth brings to your soul, you will realize that you're already an overcomer, because you have overcome them. How? Because you believed in Jesus. You are of God and have, past tense, overcome them. He's talking about demonic forces, antichrists, and the spirit of antichrist in context here. The spirit of antichrist came into the world long ago. It's been around forever. And finally, Satan will get to anoint his antichrist. And I think that will last about, a few months? If that, maybe hours. He finally gets to anoint somebody, and then the end of the world comes and judgment starts to come. But you're of God and have overcome them, because the greater one, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. You are of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And there is nothing, there is no amount of lies or deception. There is no amount of anything that can change that. But you can walk less than that by not knowing who you are. This is an identification thing. This is the subtitle that the perfect gift transforms. And it's already done. When you're born again, you're just finding out about it. You don't have to try to be like God. You don't have to try to be good. You don't have to try to the world's expectation of what a Christian is. I don't like that term Christian anyhow. I like believers. You know, because Christians was the first time they used it in Antioch was to mock Christians. Little anointed ones. But we're believers. We're sons of God. We're daughters of God. We are the people of God. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. You're brand new on the inside. You have been transformed, translated into his kingdom. But the problem is, we're still living according to the world's rules and the world's system, trying to live in the kingdom of God. And the two they just never do meet. That's what religion is. Religion tries to answer supernatural spiritual questions with natural human answers, and they never do connect. Either does the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Either does righteousness and unrighteousness. Even does... What is it? What concord has Belial with Christ, with the devil, with Jesus? None. They're two different kingdoms, and we need to establish that kingdom culture in our life to the point where we cannot even identify with who we were. Because if you start identifying with that, you're going to lose it. Not lose your salvation. You're going to lose that edge that you have. Okay? It says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. It says, "For he is our peace." You know, he's settled the whole thing. "He's our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity." You know what enmity is? It's the feeling that you have something against God, or God has something against you. There's friction. But he said, no, he is our peace, Jesus, who made the two one. Verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconciled both unto God in one body on the cross, having slain the enmity thereof thereby. There is nothing standing between you and God that Jesus hasn't already annihilated. There is no enmity between you and God. You have been transformed. He hasn't been transformed to accommodate your sin. You have been transformed to accommodate his righteousness and to walk in his righteousness. We are the ones who change, not God. So the devil just comes up and says, you know what? Look at you. You're not of God. You can look at him and say, okay, Mr. Devil, you lousy excuse for a devil, for an angel. Let me tell you something. Very soon, that angel is going to descend with a big chain, and he's going to wrap you up and throw you in that endless pit. I am of God. I have been reconciled to God. Don't let the devil start talking to you. If he starts talking to you, start speaking the truth. Start speaking what the Bible says. This is where your identity is, in the Word of God. You are of God. Let's go back to that. You are of God and have overcome them. Because here's the thing. We are constantly, just like that car salesman who was so conditioned to selling people and creating a need that they, you know, to see it his way. This is what the devil does. And we are so conditioned to try to refute and try to argue with it and everything. No, the argument's already done. We agree with the Word of God and walk in that, and he's under our feet. Because it's the power of truth. It's the power of the Word of God. When I said to him, I'll take it, he didn't even recognize it. But when you stand on it two or three times and say, okay, as the word is, that's what I declare. You're done, and I've already overcome you because I've been transformed, and I'm a son of God. I'm a new creation in him. You get that? Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. This is big. I remember the first time I read this. I went, what? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ. Now, let's go back to the beginning. There is. What's that? Is that present tense? So no matter where I go, this present tense, this present tense, this present tense, there is no condemnation to me being a child of God. There is no condemnation to them which are, present tense, in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, if you walk to satisfy the things of your flesh, you're going to feel condemnation. Not that you are condemned, but you're going to feel it. For the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. Let me read that again. For the Spirit of life in Christ, what? Has. Do you see yourself as having been free from the law of sin, which leads to death? Do you? And every time temptation comes along to you, how much time do you stand in the scripture and say, there is no condemnation for me, for I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of life in Christ. And I put that under my feet, and I renew my mind now and start listing scriptures. Start getting out your notebook and start listing scriptures of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, all you can do in Christ, and where you are seated and far above all principality and power and might and dominion. This is the truth. Not how you feel about it. I don't know are you getting anything out of this today? Yes. Because I'm telling you something. You need to understand how subtle the devil is and how simple it is for our mind to sink into this pit of condemnation and fear and timidity and to not identify with who you are in Christ. Because, look, you are who he says you are. That's who you will be for eternity. And the devil wants to lie to you and steal it and take it away and get you to turn against yourself. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, always, he said, you need to review the very fundamentals on a regular basis, the fundamentals of faith. You know why? Because the devil does. The devil goes to his fundamentals of deception all the time. And it's the same trick over and over and over and over. And it keeps people chasing their tail for a lifetime. And they're no threat to him because he's taken them out of play by fooling around with what they believe. There is therefore now, this is all past tense. It's done. You ought to get in the moment where God is and just call it done. I remember when I got saved, and I was in a meeting, and there was a rhema word that came to me, and it was enough of a word for me to take the cigarettes out of my pocket and start breaking them one by one. I went home, took my whole carton of cigarettes, and just opened up each pack and started breaking them one by one, putting them in the garbage. Then I said, now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the temptation tomorrow out of the way, and I'm going to pour water into this garbage so that they're ruined and I can't use them again. You know? So I was smart. 3 days later, I wanted a cigarette so bad. It just came on me like it had me by the back of my collar, like this. And I went out in the dining room. I got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Help me. And when I got up, that was it. That was it. You know, now we can't stand the smell of cigarettes. I can't stand it. It's something that mocks God. You know, if God lives in you and you're inhaling that stuff, aren't you blowing smoke in his face? Hello. It's the ABCs of Scripture. Just stay with the ABCs and review. Even if you get into advanced stuff later, just go back to the ABCs. Accept, believe, confess. ABC. Accept, believe, and confess. Good stuff. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. By whose stripes you were healed. It says his own self bare our sins in his body in the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you what? Past tense. You know, this is why a lot of Christians never get healed. Is because they continue to ask God to do something that he's already done. I realized this quite a while ago. If you realize that the truth has already been set, and when you start agreeing with the truth, it'll just manifest in your body. You don't need God to reach down. You might as well say, Jesus, go back on the whipping post for me, please, so that I can be healed. No, he already paid for your healing. It's done. You were healed by his stripes. I'd like to get one of those whipping posts up here. We'll talk about that later, Phil. Because you need to see it. You need to have a visual of that and cast your sicknesses and your disease, whatever it is, and just cast it on him. He already paid for it. It's done. Healing belongs to you. Another thing Brother Hagin used to say. Boys, healing belongs to you. Don't let the devil take it from you. Don't let him steal it. Don't let him convince you it's not. It belongs. It's yours. It's a possession that God has put in your hands. It belongs to you. Walk in it. Live in it. Talk it. Think it. Believe it. Who is? These are the tenses. But you know, I think it's first. This just came to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Says this. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know there's Christians walking around that they don't know what they have? They don't know they have eternal life. They don't know that they have the life and nature of God. the substance that makes God God. They don't know that they have that in their life, working in their life. They don't know that they, it says right here, these things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Zoe. Went into that last week. And that they may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's already said that twice. Believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may be able to believe in the Son of God. This is so rich. Don't walk around knowing that you don't have life, that you don't have healing, that you don't have blessing, that you don't have the things that God says you have, that you're free. Continue in the truth, and keep on digging the garbage from the surface of your life and all of the, and dig through that and find out who you really are, what you really have. Because the more you read about Jesus in the Gospels, the more you read about him, the more it comes to you who you really are in the flesh, because you, as he is, so are you in this world. Amen. You've already been transformed. He is the perfect gift, and he came to give you everything that he is, everything that he has, all the truth and power of the prophets of creation working in you. Working in you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've got to see yourself as that way. So next time temptation comes to you, you say, nope, done with that. Take your bag of stuff out of here. Take your bag of deception, your bag of temptation, your bag and the stuff that I used to get tangled up in. No, take it out of here, will you? It really does stink. And I have the aroma of God now. I'm not going to mess that up. No, I am of God. And greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. I have overcome. I am an overcomer. That's my identity. I am an overcomer. Say that. I am an overcomer, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I have an endless treasure, a repository of strength when I need it, wisdom when I need it, understanding when I need it, power when I need it, because I am of God, and greater is he who is in me. Woohoo! That he that's in the world. Oh, is this greasing up your wheels? Look at this. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says this. You know, he's talking about Abraham, how God called Abraham the father of many nations before he all he had was a barren wife, and he was out traveling. And the God told, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is something that God had already done. The gavel had gone down in heaven. Abraham didn't realize it, but I have called you. Whatever God calls you, that's who you are. Whether you're experiencing it or not, that's who you are. Before him who believed, even God who quickens the dead, and calls things which be not as though they were. This is how you walk in that transformation, by walking in the things that be not as though they were. Because why? Because God called you. He said, you are of God. Amen. He has called you that. You are of God. He's called you that. He has called you an overcomer. He has told you the greater is he. It doesn't matter what. He's greater. So greater than what? Doesn't matter. He's greater. There is nothing that you can't face, because he's greater and he lives in you. He chose you. He's you're my son. You're my daughter. You are the vessel that I need in the earth to bring forth my light and reveal myself to a dark world through you. You will have answers when you need them. You will have power when you need it. You will have understanding when you need it. You'll have the angels blocking for you all the way down to the end zone. And you'll have all a great cloud of witnesses cheering for you from the stands of heaven, from the portals of heaven. They're cheering for you. You got angels on the field. You got the Holy Spirit. How can you lose? You got a bunch of these little squirts throwing up blocks and stuff like, no. You know, when you get to them, you keep running, because they'll just disappear. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. In fact, you shouldn't be afraid of them at all. There is no fear now. Hebrews chapter 2:14 says that. Don't have time to go there. Ephesians 1:3, we went through this last year. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we discussed that heavenly places refers to the spiritual realm. And all the blessings are a reality in the spiritual realm. How do we get them into the natural realm? Call things which be not as though they were. Walk in the things that you don't see, but because God said them, you believe that they're real. So you walk in them, and they will manifest. This is the process of manifestation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Faith comes by hearing. Which we have seen with our eyes. Now you're seeing things differently. Now you're seeing the answer. When Jesus came into the world, the disciples saw the answer to everything. Then, which we have looked upon, now you're meditating on it. And then you'll handle of the word of life. It's the process of manifestation. You cooperate with it. You don't have to do anything to produce it. You just cooperate with it, and it will manifest. I'm working through a problem now with my back. I woke up one morning, and it was hurting real bad. It's a sleep-related injury. You know, I used to be able to go to bed and, you know, with very little effort and wake up feeling fine. But now I'm at a certain age where you can get a sleep-related injury. And maybe I ought to warm up before I go to bed, you know, and just do a few stretching exercises and so forth so that I can go to bed and wake up and get rid of those sleep-related injuries. Never had that before. But I'm working through that. It's going to have, it's manifesting as we speak. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, if you're willing to stand forever, you won't be standing very long. Oh, bulldog faith. Where are we here? Ephesians, yeah. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in the Spirit, in Christ. That's pretty plain. That's pretty clear. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The word of God is life to all who find it, says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Starts off in 20. My son, or my daughter, attend to my word. Notice he didn't say attend to everything that goes wrong with you. Make sure you take care of that. He says, attend to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those. This is what Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. For they are life to those who find them. It says, keep your heart. Now, here's how you understand and really experience the transformation. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, that's a Hebrew word, and it's just as much offensive as it is defensive. It covers both of them. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does that word keep mean? It means like a shepherd keeps his sheep. He leads them to pure water and green pastures. He puts the right things in. In other words, we need to put in the right words, the right, divide the truth rightly. Rightly divide the truth. And make sure we're feeding on the truth that God's giving us. Amen. Feed yourself. And it also means to protect and guard your heart. That means when you see something wrong, you know, it says flee youthful lust. That means to run. We got that. It was Relationship University this last week where it was Mike and Carrie Pickett, where he said he was in Russia one time. And in Russia, you know, there's all these pictures, graphic pictures of nudity and stuff like that. And it caught his eye and he went like this. Well, the guy he was walking with started running that way. And he just started running. Well, Mike's a pretty good runner. He's about 6'4", too. But that'll give you a little giddy up. But he caught up to the guy. He says, what are you doing? He says, it says flee the youthful lust. I'm fleeing from that stuff. Flee. So we did. He did. But he said, man, that is powerful. That's really good stuff. That's exactly what Joseph did when he fled and left Potiphar's wife holding his robe. She used this as evidence, but God registered in heaven as a badge of honor. See, there's some things the world can use against you, but to God, they're precious. Flee that stuff. Run in terror. How did I get there? Anyhow, the word is life to all flesh. Keep feeding your heart the right words. You know what I would suggest? Get a good faith devotional. Kenneth Hagin has one. It's called Faith Food. Every single day, 365 days a year. Rick Renner has that Sparkling Gems of Greek. Gives you a whole new thing every single day, 365 days a year. Deeper understanding into the scriptures. Wonderful stuff. Say this, I am of God. And I have overcome. I've overcome Antichrist spirits. I've overcome negative thinking. I've overcome self whatever. I've overcome me. My greatest enemy is my flesh. And I've overcome it. Because I walk in the Spirit. It says that, you know, it says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Big key. Big key. I don't know if you got anything out of this morning, but, you know, you are who God says you are, and there's nothing the devil can do about it except try to get you to not see it, try to get you confused about it, try to get you wondering about it, trying to get you asking him questions. No, just accept the truth at face value. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. That's where we get in trouble, when people start to add to the Bible or take away from the Bible. No, it says what it says for a reason, because there's power in simple truth. And when you start walking and declaring it, thinking it, speaking it, walking in it, doing what it says to do, you'll experience the glory of God. Amen? Praise God. Hey, we got an early finish here. Those angels must have been blocking. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful gift that you've given us, the perfect gift in Jesus, and the perfect gift that has transformed us, and that we keep walking in the renewal, the transformation that you have placed, that you have completed on the inside of us. That the gavel has gone down in heaven. You have spoken. We are new creations. We are of you. And greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. In Jesus' name, thank you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will pray for you. Miracles, remember, they happen here. There's refreshments in the cafe, so avail yourself of that. Avail yourself of some fellowship. If you see somebody that you haven't met yet. Yes, remember, sure, if you have cards, Christmas cards to bring the vets, you have one more Sunday to do it? Wednesday and Sunday. We need to have the cards by next Sunday, the Christmas cards. You know what? You can go to Tractor Supply right up here in Carpentersville, and you can get some great Christmas. You get a box of them for what? $5, is it? $7, something like that? It's really good, but it means a lot to the veterans. Yeah.